Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No! It's the Flight Free Podcast. One presenter. One special guest. One mission to save planet Earth. Will they succeed? Find out in this thrilling episode of the Flight Free Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Flight Free Podcast, the place where we interview inspiring people and share stories of grounded adventures. Now this month we will be celebrating the Humble Bus, and our guest is someone who really loves a bus. Emily Turner came to internet fame earlier this year when she decided to take advantage of the government's £2 bus scheme and rode local buses all the way from London to Edinburgh. A very unique way to travel between those two cities. So really excited to speak to Emily about her adventure. So welcome, Emily. Confusingly, our first podcast episode this year was with Emily Tullow. And so now we're talking to Emily Turner.
I once worked in a department with 20 people working for it, and there were two Emily Turners. So I'm so used to that level of confusion that I'm just like, whatever.
Okay. Wow, cool. Okay. So first off, Emily, could you just give a quick 30-second overview to the listeners? Who are you? What do you do?
So yeah, my name's Emily Turner. I'm a London-based Canadian, been here about 12 years. I'm a transport enthusiast generally, but I've always just loved riding buses as a form of transport, but often just as a thing to do when I need to get out of the house, periods when I've been depressed, I just like getting on buses. And I've always wanted to do a really long distance local bus, interconnected local bus journey. And this February I did London to Edinburgh, which went wildly viral, which I was not expecting. And so now I've had lots of knock-ons from that, including being on this podcast, which is great.
Yeah, fantastic. And your journey captured our attention as it did many others. And one of the things that we want to celebrate is the Humble Bus. People don't give the bus enough love. So shall we start with that question then? Why do you love a bus so much, Emily?
So I grew up in suburban Canada where basically no one ever rode the bus. It was to get to school, or if your car broke down, everyone was driving. And then I moved away to the other side of Canada for university, and I didn't have a car anymore. I was incredibly lonely, and I had a free bus pass. And I was in the beautiful city on the ocean of Halifax, and I was like, I'll just ride the buses around. And I found it really soothing. I'd put my headphones on. I mean, I think I had a Discman back then. It was that long ago. But, you know, I just ride the buses, just enjoy myself, see different things, just, you know, go wherever it took you. It's kind of like a, you get on and see what happens. And it just became a thing that I ended up doing. I then moved to Europe. I lived in Vienna. I had a time when I was waiting for a visa so I could start working. And I was just like, yeah, I'll just ride on the buses and the trams and things. And I've done the same thing in Britain. One year I rode every bus in London, which I don't recommend doing. It took way longer than I anticipated. But yeah, I think there's this lovely kind of element of, particularly if you're not going anywhere in a hurry, you can just put on a podcast, you can put on some music, you sit there and you just see where it takes you, particularly on a double-decker bus. You're just like, I can see so far, and suddenly you're discovering unexpected places and you can go a lot further than if you were walking, and see a lot more than riding a bike when you have to sort of actively look at everything going on around you.
So where did the idea come from? So a journey from London all the way to Edinburgh. And this is a journey that we talk about quite frequently, actually, because I don't know if you know this, but London to Edinburgh is the most used flight route in the UK. So we talk about that route quite a lot. There are trains, obviously, that make the journey. You can go there by overnight coach. There are lots of ways to get to Edinburgh. So did you pick Edinburgh for a particular reason, or was this just like, you know, where did this idea for this trip start?
It was something I always sort of thought about. How far could you get on local buses? And probably 7-8 years ago, I wrote it on a dating profile. It was like, oh, something you'd like to do or something you often think about. And I said, oh, riding on local buses. And sometimes people would message me and be like, oh, my aunt did that. Or, you know, so they would tell me some story about it to start conversations. And it was always in the back of my mind. But in the past sort of 4 or 5 years, I've become friends with quite a lot of transport enthusiasts. And this honestly doesn't feel like that weird of a thing to do. I think in the general public, people are like, I don't know anyone who's done that. But my transport enthusiast friends do things like this not that infrequently. And it's something I always wanted to do. And I thought, let's just do it. The reason I picked Edinburgh, few reasons. When you were listing all the different ways to Edinburgh, I'm like, I've done every one of those. I used to go to the Fringe every summer. I've worked at the Fringe. I'm a big theater fan. So, that's something I know well. I like Edinburgh a lot as a destination. Last year, my partner and I rode our bikes from Newcastle to Berwick, and we knew that there was a bus that went that route, the X18. I just thought, that's such a long bus route. It's such a beautiful bus route. And I remember when we were in Berwick, I was like, wow, you can get buses over the Scottish borders. So I was just like, it just started from knowing that X18 bus route and going, I can go to Edinburgh. I made the joke that I went for Old Hoos nachos because I love that place and they make great nachos. But generally, it's just a city I like. So I thought I'd go there. It's one of those things that I think I have twice flown from Edinburgh to London, but I don't think I'd ever do it again. I mean, I know I wouldn't. It takes longer than taking the train. The only reason I did it is because it was cheaper, but I don't think it should be because internal flights are not something I would ever do again in the UK.
Okay, so you had the idea, you were going to go to Edinburgh by bus. So, but this coincided with the £2 bus thing. Was that kind of the prompt? You were like, okay, I've got a day off work, I'm going to go and do it.
Yeah, I had been saying I wanted to do this for ages. My transport enthusiast friends were going, oh, I've been doing this journey. I've been going from here to here. And I thought, let's do the London. I actually originally just said London to Scotland because I was like, if I get off this over the Scottish border, I'm fine. I'd like to get all the way to Edinburgh, but I didn't want to chance it, particularly because the last day was Sunday and the services are so bad. So I was like, I've wanted to do it for a long time. It was my birthday and I was like, I'm turning 35. Let's just do this. I mean, there's other sort of personal things, like I'd been quite depressed and I'd been planning on retraining and stuff like that. So there was a lot of kind of, my life is going to change. Let's do this while I can. Things like talking about having children and things that might preclude trips like this. So I was just like, okay, let's make this happen now with the £2 fare, which is going to make it way cheaper than it would have been otherwise. So it was great.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because I don't think many people might have heard of the £2 fare. We've heard a little bit more about it now in the news. But so what is the deal? It's £2 on all local buses.
Yeah, it's not quite all local buses. I heard a lot more than I knew about it from people on Twitter when I was doing the journey. Basically, the government has, and I don't want to sing praises to the government, but this is one of their better policies, although obviously there's lots more they could do. They have subsidized the cost of buses for a lot of bus routes, exclusively in England. So the buses in Scotland were much more expensive, so that they're all £2. And this doesn't include every route. And I did have some people tweeting me saying, you know, there's some smaller local operators that couldn't afford to take part in this, or for various reasons they couldn't take part in it. But it's a ton of bus routes. There's a just government webpage that lists all the routes from all the companies, and they're all just £2 no matter journey length. So it's a lot like traveling in London or Manchester or those places that have much more integrated bus systems, but for all of England. And it originally was beginning of January to end of March. They now extended it to the end of June. And it's really positive. And I don't know the effect on ridership numbers. Obviously, I haven't seen that kind of data yet, if they even have it. But it does just mean it's smoother getting on the bus. They're just charging everyone the same price. And I hopefully it means there are more people saving money, more people choosing to ride the bus, riding the bus with families. you know, I did get a couple of people criticizing me on Twitter going, well, this is supposed to be helping families who are struggling. And I was like, I'm not taking the bus. Like, if the buses were completely packed and I was taking a space, I would feel really guilty. But it's not a means tested thing. I'm not pretending I need the £2 bus fare when I don't. Everyone gets it, which is great, because I think it's just, you know, there's a lot of people who do need it.
It democratizes travel, yeah. Okay, so let's get into the detail of the journey. So you started in your home in London. What were the first legs? How did you break it up? Did you just get on a bus and then get off where it stopped and flag down another one? Like, how, you know, tell us about that.
It was much more planned than that. If I had had a whole week to do it, I might have tried that. But I was wary that, first of all, Sunday services and even Saturday services aren't great, so I needed to get as far as I could on the Friday. And also, I think it could be all fun to plan something like this, but in the winter when the sun's going down at 5:30 and you could end up in a town in the middle of nowhere with no hotel or anything like that, I really wanted to be much more careful than that. So I left at about 5 a.m. so I could pack and I hadn't slept because I just, you know, I was too wired about the whole thing. So I left at 5 a.m. I took night buses, one just down the road to Manor House, which is sort of northeast London, then another one to Enfield, so on the edge of London, then another one to Potter's Bar, which is just over the M25. And then I, from there, started non-London buses. So yeah, it was all planned out and it all went relatively to plan. I had some 1-minute interchanges that I doubted I was going to make and I definitely didn't make. Yeah, I didn't make those, but I had alternate plans for that. And then, yeah, it all went, you know, some of the things on Saturday were I missed some buses, but there was enough to make sure I got to where I needed to go. I did say, and I hate like stoking north-south divides, but I did start to say, once I got sort of north of, yeah, sort of Yorkshire and north, I was like, these timetables are suggestions now. These buses are just showing up whenever. And lots of people on Twitter were like, yeah, welcome to Yorkshire. But like, that's not sort of mocking it from a snobbish London perspective. It's just the reality of rural services. And I get that. So it went very smoothly. And I had, yeah, very few problems on the buses.
And so you had already planned your overnight accommodation, is that right? So you were aiming.
Yeah. So I'd booked hotels and I'd been like, I'm going to aim to get here. I did have to, on the first night, take a very short taxi journey from the bus station to my hotel and then in the morning back to the bus station because I missed the last bus that would have stopped right outside my hotel. But yeah, I didn't want to be scrambling around in random places to find accommodation. So I had those booked.
Okay, so it sounds like it did run pretty smoothly. Apart from the kind of 1-minute connections, were there any times where you got stuck or you were thinking, ook, I might not make it?
Yeah, no, to be honest, it's the 1-minute connections. There were a couple times when, so for example, in Whitby, there was a bus I was supposed to take to Middlesbrough and it was kind of like, what? Where are these buses going from? It just seemed, the timetable I'd read online versus the timetable there, but I was just like, you know what, I'll wait for it and see what happens. And it was fine. Luton was a bit stressful, which was early on the first day. I was only there at about 9 o'clock. So I was like, but there was this bus that was supposed to take me to Milton Keynes that I went to one bus stop that said it was going there, but then the same bus in the other direction showed up. I eventually went to the travel center and the customer service person in there just sort of laughed and was like, ah, yes, the MK1. The council runs that bus. It shows up sometimes. I'm like, great. And that she said, show me, go to this other bus stop. And when I got there, there was a different bus to Milton Keynes. And I was like, you know what? Let's just take this bus and hope that I get there in time. Notably, while I was in Milton Keynes, that MK1 came rolling in about 5 minutes after I got there. And I'm like, it would have been fine. But
yeah, okay. Yeah. And so just to give us a bit of a picture of the geography of your trip, because we all love UK geography, fascinated by that stuff. So where was your first overnight stop? How far did you get on that first day?
It was Pontefract, so just outside of Leeds.
Gosh, you got all the way to Yorkshire in one day.
Yeah, all the way. I was so, if I had made the 1 minute connections, I could have made it all the way to Leeds, but I didn't want to bank on that. And I'm glad I didn't. So Pontefract was the first day, and I knew I had originally planned just to get to Sheffield, but the buses on Saturday and Sunday were just so bad that I couldn't do it. I had to get farther than that. So I got to Pontefract, and then the second day I was in Alnwick, which is annoying because the bus, I love Alnwick. I love the Northumberland coast, but the bus goes from Newcastle to Berwick, but on Saturday nights, it doesn't go the full journey after about 5 o'clock or something, 6 o'clock. So I could only get to Alnwick, then from Alnwick to Edinburgh, which was only 3 buses, but Sunday services are like every 2 hours, every 3 hours. So,
yeah. And it's a bit of a cliched question, but did you have a favorite part?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Northumberland coast, as I sort of just said, was kind of my favorite bit, but it's only because I have the memory of cycling that route, and there is really only one route. So I've cycled it, I've taken coaches, I've done a road trip, I've taken the train, and I just love that journey, and it's so beautiful up there. And the bus goes basically the route we cycled. So I had these like nice memories of that. And it was just this other sort of side of things and being like, man, this was so painful on my bike. And because I am not a natural athlete. So I was like, this is so much easier on the bus. But yeah, that was really stunning. I did the 840 on Saturday, which is apparently the most scenic bus in Britain. Yeah, and it was stunning. I mean, it just goes from Leeds to Whitby. You go through just all these valleys. I've had people describe taking coaches around South America that they feel like they're going to fall off a cliff. I've never been to South America, but it felt like that. You were just like, wow, this bus is at more than a 45 degree angle. And we're just going up and down on this double decker bus. And it was beautiful. I mean, the first bit, like up to York, was just sort of industrial areas and stuff. But then you get to this really stunning bit, and then you can see the coast. Even sadly, the sort of bit between Derby and Chesterfield was quite dark by that time, and it wasn't the most scenic route around there, but there's so much stunning around there. It's such a beautiful way to see so much of the country, particularly when you're on a double decker, because you just get such a wide view. Yeah.
Okay, so out of the whole journey, what was the longest leg you went on for £2?
I think that 840 from Leeds to Whitby was a pretty long journey. That was several hours, but it is very windy, so I'm not sure about that. I think if I could have done the X18, the one from Newcastle to Berwick in a day, that would have been long, but I had to do it, break it up because of the evening. I feel like Northampton to Leicester or Milton Keynes to Northampton were quite long as well. It was funny because people who had done a similar journey, friends and also just people on Twitter, were like, yes, the only way. Because you can do lots of different journeys going from London to Scotland, but that bit you kind of have to just do Northampton, Leicester. And then once you get to Leicester, there's more options. So,
and in terms of the practicalities, so obviously if you're on a bus for hours, you can't go to the toilet, all that stuff. So how does that work? Is it sort of in bus stations that you're sorting yourself out and getting a snack and water and all that? So, yeah.
Yeah, I kept a lot of snacks with me on my bag. I had my water bottle. And then, yeah, I was mostly using toilets in bus stations. Most bus stations had decent toilets. Unfortunately, unlike train stations, a lot of them are paid, which I think they should really change that, because I know they obviously a few years ago made it so they were all free in train stations. But to be honest, most of the turnstiles were broken, so they just were letting you in anyway. I did eat relatively well. I had went to this amazing vegan place in Leicester that I'd seen on the map when I was just looking at the bus stations. I mean, I did have a couple meal deals along the way, but yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, because you feel like bus travel isn't set up for long distance. So coach travel is, you know, you can get on a coach in London and get off in Edinburgh and you will have toilets and what have you on the way and charging points for your phone and all that stuff. But that's not what the bus system was set up for.
A lot of the buses now, particularly once you get out of London, do have charging points. I'd say about 75% of the ones I was on with them, they worked. And I'd say about 75% of the buses I was on had charging points, and 75% of those worked. Buses, I think, I often say that London buses, in terms of network, are the best. Like, they're the cheapest. You tap in, you go anywhere. You can, you know, there's such a good network and it's so integrated. But in terms of the actual quality of the bus, it's usually ones out of London that are better because they're expecting people to make longer journeys on them. And if you are commuting on one of those buses, your commute, you know, you don't have the option necessarily to take a train in some places. So they have to kind of be more like a train, yeah. Really.
Yeah. Do you think that might help then? I mean, I know that there has been talk about making the train system priced like we do with the Oyster system. You know, you tap in, then you tap out at the end and you get charged for your journey. Do you think that would be a great idea for buses as well? Could we, you know, why don't we have this £2 a journey permanently or kind of a much more simple ticketing system? I mean, do you think that is the kind of thing that we need to get more people taking the bus?
I think it was one of my frustrations on the bus. I mean, buses now are great for having, you know, you can just use a contactless card. I wasn't on a single bus that didn't offer that option. Granted, they were probably the more nicer, fancier buses because they were the long routes. And obviously all of them being £2 made things a bit easier. But if you could just tap on and maybe tap off, depending on how the system works, if you had that, like, it would just be faster to take the bus because whenever you get outside of London, it's like, hi, can I get a bus to this place? And then sometimes they're like, do you want the pub in that place or do you want the like town hall or whatever? And you're like, I have no idea. And so I think that really slows things down. Whereas if you did just have a system where people tapped on and off. Yeah, I think a lot more people would want to take the bus if it was, because it just slows down. If there's 10 people getting on the bus and they all have to give their destination, it takes so long.
Okay, so we have mentioned the other ways that you can get from London to Edinburgh. Obviously, taking buses means that it's definitely more about the journey than it is about the destination. And that's something that's one of our main messages here at Flight Free UK. When you travel without flying, it is as much about the journey as it is about getting there, about the destination. So yeah, you're kind of the epitome of this. Do you have any further thoughts on that? Or is that your motivation?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if I was going to Edinburgh, I wouldn't do this journey. A lot of people are going, oh, that's surely going to be more expensive with the overnights. I'm like, yes, I know it's going to be more expensive. Like, I'm just doing it because it's a nice way to see the country. But I think I've always sort of seen things that way. And whenever I end up traveling and I go to a new city, I end up spending a lot of time just riding on the public transport there because I think that's just an interesting way to see the people, to see how things are run and just to be taking to different places. I think you get such a feel for a place. I know lots of people, they're just sort of like, oh, I want to find the most authentic thing. And I'm like, the most authentic thing is riding a bus because that's what people are doing on their daily journeys. And I think also, you know, if you're just walking around all day, you get tired. There's, you know, museums and things you want to see when you go to a new place. But I think actually just, oh, look, there's a really interesting building here. And I wouldn't have seen that had I not been on this bus or, you know, I remember I was in Hull not that long ago and my partner and I just rode some buses around the East Riding of Yorkshire. And we were like, wow, there's a whole like wind turbine factory here and it's so massive and I've never seen anything like this before. And it's just, you get to see things that are part of people's everyday journey, which I really enjoy. So anytime I can do some kind of slow travel trip, I will. I also just find everything about air travel unpleasant. It's just, you know, not only is it just uncomfortable and going through airports, I've now started to get sick on planes. I'm like, I don't want this anymore. It's just not what I want.
Okay, so final concept or final point. It feels like we're talking about finding the unusual under our noses in the what we would class as usual. So, you know, finding the extraordinary in the ordinary. And that's what I think is really important about homegrown adventure, because you absolutely can have an adventure in the UK without going very far at all if you just maybe have a bit of imagination, or you don't even have to have that much time. I mean, this was a weekend for you. Yes, you took Friday off work, but yeah, we can do these things, which are so, I mean, they are life-changing. Even a trip to Edinburgh by bus is life-changing, because it absolutely broadens your horizons and gets you thinking about things differently. And that's something we definitely push at Flight Free UK. I push it personally. So I've done a lot of touring in the UK as I'm a cyclist. I actually cycled around the coast of Britain as my adventure of a lifetime, which was absolutely an adventure of a lifetime, you know. So I imagine that you are a fan of those homegrown adventures. Do you think that's a fair representation of people's attitude towards adventure? And should we look to homegrown stuff a little bit more to satisfy those adventurous itches?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of people that's never going to appeal to. And I don't begrudge anyone for saying, you know, my ideal of a holiday is lying on a beach or something like that. That's totally people's own experience. But one thing I do think is that there are people who would enjoy doing something like this, but think it's not very socially acceptable, or they'll be like, what if I come back to work on Monday and I say I just rode a lot of buses on the weekend? Everyone will think I'm very weird. I think it's part of a lot of transport enthusiasts like me are autistic, and we're just like, we don't care what other people think so much. But I think younger me would have. I think like 21-year-old me would have been like, this is too weird. Everyone will think I'm strange. I should be out partying and things like that. And I think there is this kind of barrier to, well, that's not a real holiday, or that's not really what people do. It's not this exciting adventure. And, you know, I did this and 22,000 people were cheering me on Twitter. Like, this was so exciting to them. And I've had, I think, 4 or 5 people since tweet to me saying, oh, I've been inspired by this adventure. I'm riding 5 buses around my local area, or I'm crossing the country, you know, horizontally because I wanted to get to these other places, or I might do this to get to my mom's house, which is, you know, in the next town. And I think maybe with COVID particularly, people started to understand that actually there's nice things you can do. But I do worry that people kind of lost that. They were like, oh, I actually had a really lovely time going on this trip around my local area, but now I can fly again. I'm going to go to Mexico or wherever they want to go for their holiday. There's a lot of interest in things that maybe people don't look at so closely. Life is so much better when you are interested and excited by your surroundings. And that's just, yeah, what people hopefully can get more out of it.
Absolutely. And what a great note to finish on, discovering the wonders of our local area and the ultimate in slow travel. So thank you so much, Emily, for joining us and sharing your story. I think it's not surprising that thousands of people were inspired by this on Twitter and started following you. It was a really cool idea and a little bit of a novelty as well. So thanks so much for joining us, Emily. So if you want to find out more about Emily, she is at ET Right Home on Twitter. And hopefully you're inspired to see a little bit more of your local area, or fall in love with the humble bus, and maybe even take the Flight Free Pledge, which is a great way to discover these new ways of travelling. So that's it for this month. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next time. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by the team at Flight Free UK. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to join the Flight Free Challenge for 2023. All you need to know for your challenge is at flightfree.co.uk. The Flight Free Podcast will return!